Welcome to Singing and Other Sins, a production of Hawaii Public Radio, funded by the Bauer Foundation and supporters like you. Many thanks, member supporters. I'm Gary Hickling. On this edition of Singing and Other Sins, we'll celebrate the 90th birthday of the great American composer Ned Roram, Part 2. He was born October 23, 1923, and as you'll hear in the interview that I recorded with him, still very much alive. Before we hear a portion of that interview, let's hear an instrumental work of Roram's, who is so well known for his songs that I sometimes overlook his huge catalog of symphonies, chamber music, concertos, operas, and choral works. Thank you. That was a movement from Roram's Violin Concerto, played by Philip Quint, with the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by José Cerebrier. You are listening to Singing in Other Sins, and a chance to hear the second half of Roram's masterpiece for voices and piano called Evidence of Things Not Seen. But first, here's a portion of the Roram interview made especially for Singing in Other Sins.
When you think back on it, over 500 songs that you've written, it must feel like, a nice big legacy that you have.
Well, yeah, I do. I do. I was drawn to writing songs, but not because I loved the human voice, it's because of the poetry rather than the voice. And I didn't go to the opera. I didn't go to song recitals even particularly, unless I knew the singer. I worked with singers as a pianist or as an accompanist quite a bit during recitals and, I mean, during lessons and so forth. Eva Gautier was a teacher of songs in New York, and I was her pianist, and I played every day from 2 till 5 with her singers. So I played their repertory. But as I say, it wasn't the human voice that I adored. It was the music that they were singing.
But you did become close to some of the singers that sang a lot of your songs that you accompanied a lot.
Yeah, well, Donald Graham, for example, of the men, and Nell Tangeman of the women. And I wrote with their voices in mind half the time.
You wrote for Phyllis Curtin, too, didn't you?
I wrote for Phyllis Curtin, and I wrote some high sort of coloratura songs. Who are they for?
Safarty?
Yeah, she wasn't. She was a mezzo-soprano.
Oh, okay.
But they were singers with brains in those days.
Yeah. Oh, my golly, when I think about these people. I mean, they're like legends for me.
Are they?
Oh, come on, sir.
Yeah.
When I think of the recordings that you made with these great singers of the past, and luckily you were in your prime, they were in their primes, you were all making such fabulous music together.
Mr. Roram spoke about some of his early recordings with him playing the piano part. Before we hear his cycle of songs called Evidence of Things Not Seen, let's sample two of the songs from that early recording. Phyllis Curtin sings The Tulip Tree, and Donald Graham, Look Down, Fair Moon.
On the dead, on
The composer, Ned Roram, was the pianist for Phyllis Curtin, who sang The Tulip Tree, and Donald Graham, who performed Look Down, Fair Moon. Now let's focus on the second half of Roram's magnum opus, Evidence of Things Not Seen, written at the age of 75. There are 35 songs in the set, and in last week's program we arrived at number 23. Though everything is sung in English, it helps if you can follow the words at hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. Enjoy the next five songs, which conclude the section Roram calls Middles.
Is my team plowing now as yours to drive and hear the hardest jingle when I was was late in the evening, the lovers, they were gone, the clocks had ceased their chiming, and the deep river ran on.
You're listening to Singing and Other Sins, a celebration of Ned Rorem's 90th birthday with his song cycle called Evidence of Things Not Seen. We just heard the conclusion of Middles. The singers were Tammy Tabuxi, soprano, Alexis Berthelmy, mezzo-soprano, Glenn Alamilla, tenor, James J. Key, baritone, and the pianist for all of them was Mikael Eliasson. The final nine songs are the section Rorem calls Ends. Remember, you can follow along with the words and know who the poets are if you go to hawaiipublicradio.org/singingandothersins. Enjoy.
And we Possible.
has been impossible for me. Who lack conviction, the world is ordered for the best. Disastrous and terrible simple fate I share in common with many other folk, and many we had all been better off if we had done. Broken.
Everything's fine. Then the dog sprints ahead of us, excited. We're calling, but he's racing down a scent and doesn't hear us. And that's when he goes onto the highway. I don't want to describe it. Sometimes it's brutal and over. And others he struck and takes off, so we don't know where he is or how bad. This wakes me up every night now, and I stay awake. I'm afraid if I sleep, I'll go back into the dream. It's been 6 months exactly since the doctor wrote, not even a real word, but an acronym. Awake and four-letter cipher that draws meaning into itself, reconstitutes the world. We tried to say it was just a word. We tried to admit it had power and thus nullified by means of our acknowledgement. I know the current wisdom, bright hope, the power of wishing your well is just so tired, though nothing shows in any tests. Nothing, the doctor says, detectable. The doctor doesn't hear what I do. That trickly, steadily rising nothing that makes him sleep all day, vanish into fever trance afternoons. And I swear sometimes when I put my ear to his chest, I can hear the virus humming like a refrigerator. Which is what makes me think you can take your positive attitude and go straight to hell. We don't have a future, we have a dog. Who is he? So without speech, sheer tireless faith, he is that which goes forth. Where we'll be hit first. He's the part of us that's going to get it. I'm hardly awake on a morning walk. Always just me and odd and knock. And sometimes I'm still in the thrall of a dream. which is why when he took a step onto commercial, before I'd look both ways, I screamed his name and grabbed his collar. And then I was on my knees, both arms around his neck, and nothing coming. And when I looked into that bewildered face, I realized I didn't know what it was I was shown.
Thank you. friend, and I be still together. Just like this, at the Mount of Olives. Blessed by the last of an ancient race, who loved you and and beautiful things so much they could ensob singing, and we
the conclusion of Ned Rorem's magnificent song cycle, Evidence of Things Not Seen. These nine songs make up the section called Ends. You heard Tammy Tiburtzi, soprano, Alexis Berthelmy, mezzo-soprano, Glenn Alamilla, tenor, James J. Key, baritone, and the pianist was Mikael Eliasson.
Well, it's been wonderful to talk to you, sir, as always, and I would like to be able to call you this time next year to work on your 91st birthday program.
Okay, please do, and send me copies of whatever is done.
I will certainly do that. It's okay. Been a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Likewise. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
You've been listening to Singing in Other Sins and the second of two programs celebrating the 90th birthday of Ned Roram. Next week, the focus is on Leonard Bernstein, his Jeremiah and Kaddish symphonies, both featuring Jenny Turrell. This is Gary Hickling. Aloha.